It's a fine Sunday for another podcast, isn't it? Hello again, everybody. Thank you for joining me for another installment of the Pastures Podcast. I am yours truly, Scott Mitchell, and you can read more about me on my blog at pasturescott.org. That's pasture, P-A-S-T-U-R-E, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, all one word, .org, pasturescott.org. And you can also email me at scott@pasturescott.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the blog or the podcast, prayer request, or any other news you might want to share with me, I'm all ears and would love to hear from you. Reminds me that we just finished another month of blogging, and the last 2 months I have offered a book to the one who commented the most, so I'll be shipping off another book this month to, I think it'll be our same winner from last month, Sam Goss. I get quite a bit of traffic on my blog, but not a whole lot of commenting. I am noticing that it's picking up some, and I'd love to hear from you. I do get tweet comments. I get personal texts and phone calls, but feel free also to comment on my blog as well if it's being a blessing to you. I felt the Lord was moving in my heart a few weeks ago to stop treating my blog as a hobby and more now as a daily ministry. So I'm writing almost every day. There are a few days here and there that I will not post a blog because I have other things going on in my life as well. But if you look at my November calendar on my blog, you'll notice there's probably only about 4 or 5 empty spaces on that whole calendar. That's a lot of writing. And I'm loving writing as much as I ever... No, I'm loving writing more than I ever have. And the Lord moved in my heart also to add podcasting to it. And so I'm enjoying this as well. And so please email me and let me know if this is also being a blessing to you or anything else you might want to contact me for. And that again is scott@pasturescott.com. Well, today begins Advent. And for each of the next 5 weeks, I'd like to share some meditations on the people of the Christmas story. And we'll get our information from the two Gospels that give us the most copy about it, and that is Matthew and Luke. It's fitting that we begin our Advent meditations on this final day of November. Wow, can you believe it, how fast this year has gone? On this final day of November, the month that is the forerunner of December, it's fitting that our first Advent meditation will be talking about the forerunner of Messiah, John, the elder cousin of Jesus, who is the Christ. Like his cousin, John is also named by an angel. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah the father, "Call him John." Not long after, Gabriel would visit a 13-year-old or so virgin and instruct her to name your child Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As far as I know, it's the only two in the span of recorded scripture who are named specifically by God, except, of course, Adam, who simply means mud man, a fitting name for him. He was created out of the dust of the earth, and the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So the only two that I'm aware of in Scripture that are specifically named by God are the forerunner of Messiah, John, and Messiah himself, Jesus, who is the Christ. But wait, there is one more. Can you think of anyone else specifically named by God? It's a bit of a trick question. Anyone? Are you thinking? Here's a hint. Think New Testament. Still nothing? All right, another hint. The Gospels. One more. One of the apostles. That's right, Peter. Jesus, who was God enfleshed, said, "Your name is Simon, but I will name you Peter, my rock." Well, you recall that when Moses spied a burning bush, and as he approached it, a voice spoke to him out of the flame. And in that salient, redemptive conversation, Moses learned God's covenant name, Yahweh. That same name is folded into John's name, Yohanan. In full, it means Yahweh is gracious. Now, I know any of my Hebrew friends will probably be appalled at my Hebrew pronunciation of Yohanan. Feel free to write in and correct me on that. I want to make sure I get that right, but it means Yahweh is gracious, and it's not hard to understand why. John's mission from the start was always to point everyone to Christ, to make people's hearts ready to receive him and his reign, to deflect away from himself and make his divine cousin all and in all. John's life was a billboard broadcasting to hopeless, helpless humanity that God is gracious, to give us Jesus, his Son, who will redeem us from our enslavement to sin. You just need to let go of your kingdom and receive his. Repent! Come to think of it, that should be the bottom line quotient of our lives as well. To constantly be pointing people to Jesus, speaking of his redeeming love, and laying down our own lives to make his name great. A little background. For 400 long years, God was completely silent. No word, no prophetic message. The high priest couldn't give fresh instruction from God, but had to rely on old sermon notes and former rabbis. The people were antsy. When is God going to say something to us? Has he abandoned his people? Generation came, generation went, generation after generation. Nothing. Nada. No word. For 400 years. God was gone, or so they thought. Like their forebears in Egypt, who struggled in mud and straw and brick, enduring the whips of their masters and the insane edicts of despotic pharaohs, and never once through it all hearing the voice of their shepherd. All of this for 430 years, thinking themselves abandoned, orphaned. But God was indeed very much engaged in their sorrow. He himself was grieved, the Bible says in Exodus. He felt their pain. He knew their suffering. He was intimately acquainted with their grief. And back then, he was getting ready to speak. And he chose a man from a priestly tribe to speak to. Over 1,400 years later, after God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, I wish I had time to talk about the significance of that number redemptively in God's redemption plan. Over 1,400 years later, God saw the sorrow and frustration and despair of his people again, and he spoke to yet another Levite, Zechariah, and he gave him this message. Salvation is coming. Another Exodus is coming. So after 400 years of silence, you have to believe the first word God will say out loud to his people, not just Zechariah in the holy place, but to his people on the public stage, you'd think that that word would be epic. What was that word? Well, let me read it for you. This is the word of John the Baptizer, the cousin of Jesus, when he preaches his first public sermon. For all we know, except for the word that came through the angel to Zechariah in the holy place of the temple, this is the first word of God preached on the public stage. After all those centuries of silence, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, he preached, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, there you have it. God put the mute button on himself for four centuries, and when he unmuted himself, the word that echoed, blared, and resonated to his people was, repent! Repent. What does that word mean? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word pictured the people of God who had rebelled and were exiled. And the very moment when desire was awakened in them to return to their God, their land, and their identity, that was said to have been their repentance. John's ministry calling was to awaken the people to the new order of God's reign in Jesus Christ, to leave their own reign, to forsake their sin, to cease from religion, and to believe that Messiah had come, and that his name is Jesus, and his kingdom must be entered into by faith. Let me ask you something, friend. Is this your ministry also? You're thinking, ministry? Well, no, I'm not using ministry as a synonym for being a pastor or elder or evangelist or an apostle. I'm using it in reference to the reason you're on this earth. Is your life like John's life? Is your life a billboard to the majesty of Jesus? Do you want to see people fall at his feet? You may not be a pastor or an evangelist or a call to a mission field on the foreign field. What are you here on this earth? What is your role? Are you a financial planner? Are you a warehouse worker, a stay-at-home mom, a fashion designer? Are you a nurse, a newspaper editor, a fireman, a landlord, a janitor, a CEO of a large company? It doesn't matter. Those are the roles you are given on this earth. Just like John's role was as Jesus' cousin, as a prophet of the Most High, and as forerunner of Yeshua HaMashiach. But his calling, his passion, his responsibility, his ministry was to point people to Jesus. Use your role to do that. Let me give you a personal illustration. My role in life includes being a paraplegic. And I want people to see Jesus in my disability, in all my weakness. My role is also on this earth as a married man, and I might add, a very happily married man. And I hope people can see Jesus in how I love Sandy. My role is also on this earth as a father whose only child went to be with Jesus last Christmas. I long for people to see Jesus in my sorrow. My role also on this earth is a pastor to some amazing 20-somethings. And also through writing and podcasting on social mediums, I yearn for people to hear the meta message of my Jesus in all of my life words. One final thought. John used his role to point to the greater one, Jesus Christ. He used his role, but oftentimes we play out our roles and we do it begrudgingly. We wish we had a different role. But John accepted his role, and that's the point I want to make finally. He had to accept his role. And did he? Could he accept the fact that his younger cousin deserved top billing? That he was the one to lay all the groundwork and then his cousin came in and got the glory? Was he okay with being the setup man? Well, let's listen to a few of his words. His own words about himself and some words Jesus said about him. In John 1:15, it says, John bore witness about him, talking about his cousin Jesus, and he cried out. I love this. He cried out, meaning this was his passionate declaration in life. He said, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Wow. He ranks before me. He's far more important than I am. I am inferior to his superiority. And not only that, he was before me. Now, wait a minute, John, you were born before Jesus. No, but Jesus always has been. He recognized his divinity. Talking about his younger cousin Jesus, John also said, John chapter 3, verse 30, he, Jesus, must increase, but I, John, must decrease. His younger cousin, Jesus, had these curious words about him. In Matthew 11, verse 11, it says, truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than my cousin, John the Baptist. But he goes on to say, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is even greater than he is. Wow. He said those words when John was languishing in prison, and when John was beheaded, and when John had laid down his life for his friend. He said, he's great. No one before him is greater. But those who are my followers, my disciples, who enter into the kingdom of heaven are greater than he. Can you hear Jesus say to you, beloved, you're indispensable to me and to my mission, but you're a single cell in my body. Make much of me and make much of your brothers and sisters, but prefer yourself last. Can you hear Jesus say that to you today? That's what John did. He took a subservient position to Christ. That's easy to understand, of course, but he also took a lesser place of importance to all of us, too. And that's the spirit of the Christmas story, beloved. It is self-giving love in honor, preferring others to our own place of comfort. It is taking a stable so that believers could share a throne. It is taking upon himself a cross so that others could wear one day a crown. It is, like John, taking second place so that future disciples could have the kingdom. John and Jesus did this. Can you? Thank you for listening, beloved. I look forward to seeing and sharing with you, not so much seeing you, but sharing with you next Sunday, as we talk about Joseph. How much do you know about Joseph in the story? I assure you, it's an exciting study, and I can't wait to share it with you. May your week be blessed in the Lord, and may your life be a billboard to his majesty. Point others to Jesus. Lay your life down for them. Selah.